So this will be come to our sermon time, and we're glad to have Josh back again. He enjoyed last week, and I'll tell a quick story about this is how bad I am, Josh. So your wife Mindy, you weren't sitting by her. I'd like to blame it on you, but I'm not. This is how bad it is when you get old like me, and you just have a birth and your memory goes. So Mindy, I'm looking out there, I'm like, wow, she looks familiar. I think she's been here before, but I'm not sure. So I go up to introduce myself, which I talked to her after service last week for 10 to 15 minutes. So my brain just kind of goes, I'm terrible about that. So anyway, I like to say it's because Josh wasn't sitting next to her. So, but I'm not going to blame Josh on that. That is totally me. But it's so great to have them back this week. So I look forward. So Josh, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, Mark. As I said, my name is Josh, and I was here last week, shared with you, and it's good to be back here again this week. Hopefully you had a good week and enjoyed some outdoor time or something with family and friends. Oftentimes in life, things are not as they appear. I mentioned last week that I spent a couple years doing chaplaincy for law enforcement in our county. And this past year, there was an unfortunate incident, up at Licking Valley, an active shooter incident, which the whole county responded to, and I responded that day, and, was sent down below the school right as you enter Hanover to a church there. That's where they were staging parents and trying to organize everything and make sure that kids were released safely, and thankfully nobody was hurt that day, and the situation, was resolved. However, news media obviously responds in situations like that, and they were not allowed near the school, so they were down at this church. And one of the pictures my sister sent me from one of the Columbus news stations that was there that day took a picture, and I'm standing there, and for whatever reason, I have my hands behind my back, which is not a very flattering position with all this going on up here anyway. And I'm standing next to a deputy who's in full uniform, and you could not see my insignia on the back that says chaplain. And the headline was, man in custody after Licking Valley incident. I was not that man, obviously. But oftentimes things are not as they appear, and we're going to look at a story in Luke chapter 7, where this is the case. And I believe the Bible tells us not to judge people because we don't know the extent of what's going on in people's lives. We can't see into their heart. We can't see into their mind. But Jesus had that ability. And so in Luke chapter 7, we're going to look at a story where Jesus does that. He looks into somebody's life who is self-righteous, but his heart is not in the right place. And there's going to be a woman who appears broken and in despair. But Jesus offers her a new life. So in Luke chapter 7, down there towards the bottom of the chapter, verses 36 through 50, that's where we're going to be reading this morning. The setting of this story is at a Pharisee's house. His name is Simon, and he has invited Jesus over for a dinner party. I'm sure there's other Pharisees there. And so Jesus decides to attend. Now, a dinner in those days was kind of a community event, especially one of this magnitude. They were at a house, but obviously there's not, in those days, you know, a lot of walls going on within houses. And because of the climate, there was a lot of open spaces in houses. And so this dinner was taking place, and a lot of times when people would come around for a dinner party such as this, there would be most likely a debate going on. And so these areas were open, there were windows open, and people from the community could come. And even though they weren't part of the dinner, they could stand around and gather around and listen in. We see this a couple times in Jesus' ministry. And so that is what is happening. There's this dinner at Simon's house. Jesus is there, other Pharisees, and a lot of people gathered around. Now, they didn't sit around a table as we do today, and we think about, you know, Thanksgiving dinners or big family dinners, or everybody seated around a big table. Their tables in those days were very low, low to the ground, and so people would actually recline at the table. And so they would sit, usually, with their feet away from the table, away from what's going on, and they would lean on their left arm and then grab food with their right hand. And so imagine a table low to the ground and all of these people are seated around it, reclined at the table with their feet going away from the table. Now, feet in those days, feet are gross and just in general, okay? But in those days, if they had footwear at all, it was some sort of sandal. And again, knowing the area or the terrain was very dirty, very dusty. And so when someone would come into a house, their feet would be filthy. So you don't want them anywhere near the food that you're eating. And so that's the setting of what's happening here. Okay, so we're going to start in 36. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. So even though the woman came in and was at Jesus' feet, and even though the windows and such were open, she was an uninvited guest for many reasons, but mostly because the woman in this story was a known sinner. Her reputation precedes her. She was known throughout the community as someone you didn't want to be around. Now, that probably meant she was involved in prostitution by her own choice. Therefore, she was looked upon as an outcast, an outsider, unclean, especially in the Jewish community. What she was doing was shameful. And she lived with that shame, that guilt, that loneliness. She was being used. Now, the Bible does not excuse her sin, only states that she was known for a sinful lifestyle. So this woman, somehow though, knows Jesus, knows who he is. It would not make sense that she would just come up and do this if he was some random stranger. So maybe at some point his words that he was saying had impacted her, or maybe he had spoken to her before. Maybe he had offered forgiveness. Whatever the case, she is trying to escape her past, turn her life around, and she knows that Jesus brings that hope and healing and restoration. And so she is there, weeping, wiping his feet, kissing them, pouring perfume on them. However, her presence was disruptive. And to some, including the host, Simon, this was way out of line. So let's read on. Luke chapter 7, verse 39. So when the Pharisee who had invited Jesus saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. See, the Pharisee reacted in disgust over this situation. He was not only disturbed by the woman being there, he was disturbed by her touching Jesus' feet. It certainly caused a scene, and I'm sure everyone's attention was now focused on what's happening. This caused Simon now to be disgusted with Jesus because he is allowing this woman to touch him, to kiss his feet. He's even disgusted with Jesus. And in contrast, the woman did not care what was happening, what everyone else thought. She was used to the scrutiny. She was used to the dirty look. She was used to people staring when she would walk through the community. And now at least she was doing something honorable in her mind. Her conscience perhaps now clear. Her heart is pure, which would certainly draw out the heavy emotion that she was sharing. And Jesus, knowing what Simon is thinking, decides to use this as a way to school Simon a little bit. And also an opportunity to speak love and grace to the woman, and then also to teach some truth to everyone who's gathered there. So Luke chapter 7, verses 40 through 43, Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. Jesus goes on and says, "Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii, the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, begrudgingly, I'm sure, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Jesus is using this story, and he speaks in stories and parables a lot, like he does, to teach this hard truth to Simon the Pharisee. Two people are in great debt, one greater than the other, and the amounts were given were about, one was about 2 months' salary for the 50 denarii, and about 20 months of a salary for the 500. 10 times the lesser amount. Yet the money lender forgives both debts. Free and clear. Now you might be asking, how is that fair? And the answer is, it's not fair. Or is it extremely fair? Because who gets to determine this? The moneylender, right? He can decide whatever he wants about the situation. It was his money to begin with. And so he cancels both debts. But you know what actually happens here? Both people in debt now stand at the same level. And Jesus is using this story to teach Simon about God's forgiveness, because God's forgiveness does the same thing. On one hand, Romans 3 says we all fall short of the glory of God. But John 3:16 says, "Whoever believes shall not perish but have eternal life." We all sin, but we all also have the hope of salvation that's offered to us. And even though it may seem to us that more grace is required for others, and this little story by Jesus tells us that it's not about more grace, because the ground is level at the foot of the cross. Have you ever heard that? I know sometimes we use this description to talk about other people, right? That, oh man, for this person, some extra grace is required, right? And we're talking about patience, and we're talking about just dealing with interpersonal relationships, but that's not the case with God, because grace is immeasurable. There's not more grace needed for some people and not for others. Grace is grace. It's what it is. It's forgiving all debt free and clear, no matter how much. And Jesus' sacrifice covers all sin, no matter how great. However, the appreciation of that grace is what may vary from person to person. And someone who has maybe had a mess of a life or have lived in sin but comes to Jesus, they might be more loving and more grace-filled towards others after receiving forgiveness. There's an appreciation that is great. For them, a huge burden has been lifted. A new life they are now living. Now, that is not to say if you grew up in church in a Christian home or didn't live a wild life of sin before accepting Christ, that is somehow a bad thing or that you're worse off. No. That's a huge blessing. A tremendous blessing. But the lesson that Jesus is teaching here is that a warning against self-righteousness. Because that's Simon. He's a Pharisee. He's an expert in the law. He does everything by the book. And in his mind, he has all the right actions and always makes the right choice, so there's no need for forgiveness. Because when someone thinks that they always do the right thing and they never sin, why would they need forgiven? And that person then is in danger of being like Simon here in this story and pretty much disgusted by everyone around them. So here's the issue with all of this. It's a realization, and it's really hard to kind of wrap all this up in a 25-minute sermon, but we're going to try. Okay, the offended want justice, and the offender wants mercy. The offended, those who have been hurt or those that someone has hurt them or caused them pain, they want justice against that person. They want it quickly and they want it harshly. But the person who offends or the person who does wrong, most situations is hoping for mercy, grace. Hopefully they've realized they've done something wrong and they want mercy. And the problem with humanity is that we are both. We are both the villain and the victim. We both cause pain to others and also have had pain caused to us. We are the offender and the offended. Sin is a huge problem with the human condition. That is why we are all in such desperate need of a Savior. Not only for us, but for all mankind. And that's why we pray for our family, our neighbors, and people we know that they may too come to a moment of salvation, a realization that we all need Jesus. Simon in this story hasn't realized that just yet. So Jesus teaches Simon this lesson. But now he addresses what is going on at his feet. Okay, so there's a shift in the story here. But notice, as we read, that he is still speaking to Simon, even though he is looking at his feet and at the woman. Jesus, you know, he often speaks in parables and in story form. And he also uses questions. When people ask him a question, he oftentimes responds with a question to try and teach. But here is kind of a rare instance where we see Jesus directly speaking about what is happening. And rarely do we see this kind of direct scolding. So, Luke chapter 7, verse 44, we'll start there. So then Jesus turns toward the woman, but he said to Simon, so he's still speaking to Simon, even though he's looking at the woman, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins are forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little, loves little. So Jesus is speaking directly to what's happening here. See, in those days, if you were to host somebody in your home, again, we've talked about the feet, okay? Part of what you would offer to your guests is some way for them to cleanse their feet, to take their sandals off, to wipe off the dust and dirt of the road, and to tidy up before entering your house, especially for a dinner. There was also a towel or some oil for your face. And so what Jesus says here, you know, you didn't give me any oil for my face, but she's pouring perfume, a much more expensive commodity, on my feet. They would offer oil for, you know, again, it's a desert area. They walked everywhere. So when they arrived somewhere, there was sweat, there was dirt and dust, and the oil would be a refreshing cleanser for their face, a way to moisturize a little bit. And he was offered none of that. Another thing they would always do is greet somebody with a kiss. It's a welcoming. Many parts of the world still do this today. And Jesus was not greeted in this manner. And so you can imagine the woman who is there watching Jesus come into this and being completely ignored as a guest. He was unwelcome. It tells us what Simon's intention was here. He wanted to bring Jesus to this, to debate him, make a mockery of him. And as this woman is watching this, she is overcome with emotion that her Lord was not welcome in this home. Is he welcome in yours? So Jesus defends the woman. He is defending what she is doing. And he is honored that she would even do this. Because what she is doing is what Simon neglected to do, or what he should have done. He should have welcomed his guest. But instead, he was trying to make a mockery of Jesus. You see, Simon wanted to be right in his debate. He wanted to be proven right. He didn't want a relationship with Jesus. And Scripture, on the other hand, teaches that Jesus came to seek and save the lost. And we see now Jesus will finally turn, and even though he's already directed his face towards her, he's now going to speak to the woman. Verse 48, then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. And the other guests there began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? Jesus said to the woman again, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. He tells the woman what we all need to hear. Your sins are forgiven. Now go live the life that I have for you. The word peace in this verse actually means a little bit of a deeper meaning than just living in harmony with one another. It was deeper than that. It was go and build your life back up. You are forgiven, live as such. Forgiving others as well. See, Jesus not only forgives, but he restores. He restores what is lost. This woman went from shame to feeling no shame, letting her hair down, which was a huge no-no for women in public in those days, to use it to wash a man's dirty feet. She went from despair to reverence. She went from being lost to being found. She went from being ravished to restored. And only Jesus can do that. This is a powerful story. And Jesus peers into the life of two very different people. One who's living as self-righteous, thinking that if he follows the law, then he is good because he can somehow save himself. And then he peers into a woman who lived a sinful life, but has come to an understanding that she needs a Savior. And so three lessons kind of to just wrap up here. Understand the law, that your actions, okay, cannot save you. I like to use this example of what the law does. The law was a gift from God to the people of Israel. I'm talking about the Mosaic Law, okay? It was a gift from God to the people to help them understand not only how to live in relationship with Him, but also how to live with one another. And so the law can only tell you that you're wrong. It can only tell you what you're doing wrong or right. It cannot save you. So I think it was like this. Let's say you're driving a car and that car breaks down. And so you're stranded along the side of the road. Maybe you have AAA or something of that sort. And so you just make a phone call. Okay. And, you know, let's say you're out of gas. Okay. And so AAA comes and they come over to your car and they look it over and they're like, oh, you know what? You're out of fuel. I'm like, oh, okay, thank you. And then the repair guy gets in the truck and drives away. Now, he is the law in that story. He is telling you what's wrong, but he's doing nothing to fix it or to remedy the situation. And so that's what the law does. It tells you how to live. It tells you what you should be doing, or it tells you even when you are wrong. But it does not save you. The people of Israel found that out pretty quick. So only Jesus can save. And it's only through Him that we are saved. We are saved by grace through faith in Jesus. We can rely on our own actions. For Simon, he thought because he followed the law to a T that he was in the right. But Jesus in this story lets him know that your heart is not in the right place. That a woman, even though she had lived a terribly sinful life, has turned to Jesus and is worshiping Him. So we are saved by that grace through our faith that we put in Jesus, because we cannot save ourselves. And last one here, how grateful and thankful that you are of the grace that Jesus extends may determine how you treat others. And that's a tough lesson, maybe. Because if we feel like we don't have much to be forgiven for, then we're not going to probably be willing to extend that forgiveness to others, especially someone who in the community who is a known sinner. And see, Simon's biggest mistake was thinking that if Jesus knew this woman, he said that, if this man was a prophet, and he would know who he's dealing with. His mistake was he didn't realize Jesus did know. He knew her heart. He knew her past. But he offered forgiveness. And he knows yours as well. And he's offering that same forgiveness to you today and every day. And I pray that this church here would also be one that offers that, because we are so grateful and thankful for it, that we offer that to our community and the people that we come in contact with as well. And we don't treat them like outsiders or an unwelcome guest. That we realize we all need Jesus. No matter how little we've sinned or how much we've sinned, His grace is enough. Pray with me this morning. God, we are so thankful for what you have done through Christ. And His sacrifice on the cross means everything to us, because without it, we cannot be saved. But God, not only His sacrifice that He willingly gave on the cross, but also what He did in His ministry that we can learn from. We can see His treatment towards others, His respect for all people, and His willingness to go in the community and seek those who we might deem as unclean. And so God, I pray that you give us the strength, the courage, that we are grateful enough for your grace that you've given us, that we want to share and extend that to everyone we come in contact with as well. God, it's not an easy thing to do for us. So I pray you give us the strength and courage to do so. And God, we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.